form of declaring God's praise is a recounting of how one touched, how God touched one and brought him to a saving knowledge of our Messiah. Garrett, if you would please come up, and may you continue to declare praise to our God.
I know Garrett Smith sounds pretty Jewish to everybody here. But my father was born with the name Schmidt in Vienna, Austria. And in 1938, the Nazis invaded Austria, and my father's family was forced to flee. And they came to the States wanting to blend in a little better, change their name to Smith. And I was raised in San Francisco, not an overly religious family. You know, we were Jewish and proud of it. I was bar mitzvah and went to Hebrew school, celebrated the holidays. But like most Jewish people I know, you feel very strongly about being Jewish. And, you know, you enjoy the customs and traditions, but it really doesn't have anything to do with God necessarily. You know, for me, I would say these beautiful Hebrew prayers of praise to God, but there wasn't any praise in my heart to God. They were just words. When I was about 22 or 23, what I figured the most important thing in life was to make as much money as possible. So I got a job in downtown San Francisco in the stock market, and I was on my way. But right about then, 2 months after I got my job, my mother died. And suddenly all that money just didn't seem so important anymore. So after a couple of years, I decided to quit my job and search for some real meaning in life. So I decided to move to the Far East and study Chinese. You know, it doesn't everybody. I figured I wanted to face my fears. I thought, if there's something I'm afraid of doing, that's what I have to do. And so I thought I took immersion Chinese and went by myself off to Taiwan. After about 6 months in Taiwan, I figured that was, I was studying Chinese and martial arts and teaching English, and I figured that was too easy for me in Taiwan, so I went to mainland China with just a backpack and some of my fear-facing. I ended up hitchhiking through some of the most remote areas of China. There's not a lot of cars in China, so hitchhiking was pretty tough. But I had a lot of time to think, as you might imagine. I was studying a lot of Eastern philosophies at that time, and I thought, if these things are really true, I can't be afraid to live them out. And so I spent the next year down in Southeast Asia, around Malaysia and Thailand. I ended up in a Buddhist monastery. I shaved my head. I was sleeping on cement pallets, waking to gongs at 4 o'clock in the morning, being silent for 2 weeks at a time. It's kind of like Jewish purgatory. You know? But you obviously, only Jewish people can use that joke. You know, I was studying, you know, Buddhism and meditation, yoga, and there's a lot of truth in these philosophies. I mean, they would teach you things like greed and lust and selfishness are bad and harmful to you and you shouldn't do them. Well, that's all true. But, you know, the best lies are 95% true or you'd never believe them. And these philosophies are wrapped in a big lie. It's a lie which says there is no ultimate meaning or purpose to life. You just live it as you can to have as little suffering as possible. Try to have a happy and peaceful life. A lot of people believe that lie. That's not our purpose. When about that time, my father actually managed to get me to come home. He wanted to go on a final family vacation to Israel. He wanted to go to the Promised Land once in his life. He's in kind of bad health. And I said, okay, Dad. So after I was on and off probably for 2 years in the Far East, and I came home, and all I had was a 15-pound backpack and a guitar because I had rejected all materialism. I had no aspirations whatsoever to rejoin Western society and all of its corruption. And so when I went off to Israel, I only took a one-way ticket, and I was going to continue my journey into the nature of life, the nature of truth. And so my family went home after 10 days, and I stayed saying, you know, I remember saying goodbye to him. I'll see you whenever I see you. I didn't know when I would see him again. I figured I had more important things to do than worry about things like family. So I was hitchhiking in Israel, and I got dropped off right in front of a Christian youth hostel in Haifa, in the north of Israel. Youth hostel is a place where backpackers, you know, live in dormitories, really cheap. And I was 27 at this point, and not one person my entire life had ever told me anything about Jesus. I don't know if it's because I was Jewish and they were afraid to, or maybe I was deaf to it. I don't know. But the first guy was a Jewish guy who actually believed in Jesus. Yeah, but he was by a guy by the name of Izzy. Now, Izzy's one of these guys who probably took a few too many drugs before he became a believer. Totally out there kind of guy. Still is totally out there. And he was talking to me a mile a minute, blah, 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 blah. But all I heard was blah, 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 Jesus, blah, 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 blah. You know, for like a half hour. I didn't even say anything. But I'm Mr. Jewish Buddhist, so I'm patiently listening to him, you know. And then he hands me a Bible. And, you know, then Izzy goes and tells the other people at the hostel, hey, you see that guy over there? He's really open, you know. But But I hadn't listened to anything he had said. But God used Izzy. And I hope that's an encouragement to you. You know, it is to me. Because even though I didn't listen to anything Izzy said, when the Bible hit my hand, I had this funny thought. You know, maybe I ought to read this thing. I just thought, here I was this intellectual traveler, and I was totally ignorant about the Bible. I mean, I knew the stories when I was a kid, but I actually never sat down and read it. And I thought, how can I be this educated guy and be totally ignorant about what the Bible says? I mean, regardless of what you believe about the Bible, there's still no book more significant than it. You know, historically, philosophically, religiously, I mean, it is the book of, you know, Western civilization. So I thought I'd start at Genesis 1:1 and just read through the whole thing. I got up about to the beginning of Leviticus, got a little bogged down, and someone said, you know, why don't you try the New Testament? I'm like, the New Testament? Ooh, you know. That's the other guy's book, you know. We don't read that book, you know. I mean, as we all know, you ask the average Jewish person, why don't you believe in Jesus? They'll tell you, because I'm Jewish. But, you know, I wasn't going to be afraid of anything. And you know, I didn't want to be afraid of a book. So I thought I'd read it. I read the Gospel of John. I read Matthew. I read Luke, and I really liked it. I figured, you know, Jesus was kind of like me, this enlightened individual. You know, that's how I kind of saw it. You can imagine the arrogance. I thought he was like me, you know. Not even like I was like him. He's like me, you know. But a couple weird things would happen to me. I mean, I was there for about 2 months, and people would sometimes try to talk to me about Jesus, and I wouldn't really listen to anything they'd say. But I get a weird, like, buzzy feeling, like chills. I remember it a few times. I didn't tell anybody about it, but it really kind of shook me up. And then a few times I'd be reading the Bible, and it was exactly what I was thinking about. And also in a way which kind of disturbed me. Never forget, at one time I had one of these Bibles with little headings on it, and right, I was listening to people praying and thinking to myself, I wonder, what is this praying thing? It's like you're talking in your head. And right as I had that thought, I opened the Bible up and it said, how to pray. And I just closed it immediately, slammed it down. I was just like, it just like freaked me out. It's like I felt like someone was in the room with me, and it really jarred me that it all really came down for me in one night. I meant the hostel for about 2 months, and I was also to leave the hostel. And this one night, that little buzzy thing was like 1,000 times over. And it's going to be hard to believe, but I was literally shaking in a chair for about 3 hours, and I felt like something grabbed me. And I can't tell you why, but I was somehow convinced it was God. Here I was closer to an atheist, but in that moment I was convinced it was God, and I actually fell to my knees and my face was against the ground, and words came inside my head, like a blinking sign, and the words said, the Lord Jesus Christ is my Savior. I didn't understand the words, pretty weird words for a Jewish kid. Didn't even understand what it meant. I just knew that somehow God was very real and that somehow Jesus was the key. And I said my great prayer of confession to God, which was basically, God, I don't know why you cared about me. I wanted nothing to do with you. But whatever you want with my life, I'll do it. Sounds pretty noble, but it's what I actually said back in November of 1992. And I stayed in Israel for a whole year doing nothing but reading the Bible and trying to understand this whole thing could be true. And my life was transformed. God was a reality in my life. The Bible opened up and it wasn't some book of philosophy anymore. It was God talking to me. And I'll tell you, I've never felt as Jewish as I do today, but I've come to know my Messiah, and that I worship the God of Israel in spirit and truth. I'm just thankful the Lord comes to seek and save those that are lost. Thank you.